on classical WMUK 89.9 FM and streaming at WMUK.org. It's 16 minutes past 10 o'clock. I'm Kara Lawrence. Last March 6th, 7th, and 8th was one of the most exciting cultural events we have every year in Kalamazoo. It was the Midwest Rad Fest, hosted by Wellspring Corey Terry and dancers. This happened practically minutes before everything shut down. And I have on the line Corey Terry herself, founder and artistic director of Wellspring, and executive director Kate Yancho, to catch us up on that moment and what happened afterward. Very nice to have you on the air, Corey and Kate.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you for having us, Kara.
I remember the interview we shared with the dancers in the room, the music you were playing, the so many events centered around dance, including an art hop and much more. It was just a blowout weekend for Wellspring. Why not celebrate that for just a minute in memory?
Well, Kara, that was a fun interview, Kara. We really enjoyed spending that time with you and talking about this festival that we presented, like you said, minutes before the world changed.
How did the weekend play out?
It was great. It was a fantastic weekend. That was our 11th year of RadFest. People came from all over the country. We had no idea at the time that we were about to shut down everything. And so I know many people have said to me, the last time I was out was RadFest. Because 1 week later, the whole country pretty much shut down. So we snuck in right at the last minute to have this awesome festival of dance.
And awesome it was. We had sold out performances, a rad hop, that's what we called the art hop, with, all these different interactive pieces throughout art hop. We had an art installation. We had screen dance at the Kalamazoo Public Library. We had great crowds and just so much amazing energy.
That's what I remember. So after the success and the feeling of, completion, wow, that went well, then you were probably looking to what's the next part of the season, which would have been part teaching or more presentations, more concerts. What was on the schedule?
I always give the dancers a week off pretty much after RadFest, and we took that week, and we thought we were going to be coming back to mad rehearsals for the upcoming collaboration with the Gilmore Keyboard Fest, where we were slated to perform with this wonderful piano duo, Zofo, from San Francisco. And we were really anxious to get that work done and be ready for that. And, of course, the whole Gilmore Festival got canceled that week. So we were preparing for our spring show as well. So it was, the day time stood still for us on March 16th when we just had to stop everything.
And we had students, coming every week for classes, preparing for performances, and that stopped too. And we had to pivot quickly and think about how do we still serve our community and take care of all of these students of ours through this. And we did our best in a short period of time, but it was really hard. That first couple of months was really challenging.
How did you keep students dancing through that time?
We on March 30th, we launched the Virtual Dance Academy. So we had, by the end, we ran it through June, and by the end, we had up to 10 live classes a week via Zoom for students. We had some pre-recorded classes, and we shared other content for them to digest at home, and just really tried to stay present with our dance students. And we're so grateful that so many of them chose to stay with us as well. It was just such a highlight of every day. I got to sit in on almost all the classes because I was, you know, behind the scenes administering, and I'd come up and look at the Zoom and see all these little people at home with these big smiles on their faces, just so happy to see their instructor, their friends from class, and that to me made all of the work that it took to make that happen really worth it.
Yeah, and as far as the company goes, we also went into virtual mode. And I started teaching the company classes from the extra bedroom upstairs, which fortunately has a wooden floor, a hardwood floor. And all the dancers, you know, just would Zoom in and we'd have class. And we did that until the first week of June. And it, you know, worked okay. It didn't work. It's not like having a beautiful dance space to dance in, but an arabesque is an arabesque, and we just needed to keep practicing every day. We actually went down to 3 days a week over Zoom. But then we started in with some projects because we needed to keep going, and we ended up making two different dance films, which was really fun. Everybody just recorded themselves on their phone in our separate spaces. And let's see, the first film was edited by Marissa Bianin, as I recall. And then the second one was by Carolyn Rabbers. And so, Kate, we did some things with those films.
We did some things with those films. We were lucky to partner with, you know, people, organizations that we partner with often in town. We did a virtual art hop because I got to tell you, Kara, I also peeked in on a couple of company classes and rehearsals and just thought, this is really fascinating. And we should share this with others, how this is working and what you all are doing to overcome these obstacles. So we did a live stream rehearsal for the May art hop and then premiered the first film, which was called Quarantine Ratio 16:9, and did just a Facebook Live stream, and people could type in questions and Corey and the company responded, and it was really cool. And, you know, honestly, we had a bigger audience for that than we would for a normal In the Wellspring Theater art hop. So that was really, really cool and showed us kind of the potential of this virtual possibility.
Sure. You're not the only arts organization meant to say that to me, where by putting some online, putting a production online, they actually reached more and further away audiences. I'm thinking of how the musician community was really startled and concerned when that story came out about a choir having a 3-hour rehearsal and then a huge percentage of them came down with COVID-19. And I'm assuming that the dance community is also following the science and the latest information on COVID-19 very carefully. It's a physical activity and, you know, deep breathing and such, you know, your lungs are having a workout. So what is the latest recommendations and guidelines for dancers?
Go ahead, Corey.
Well, I was going to say, I'm not sure if there is anything official out there. We've researched some stuff, but there's some information now about certain kinds of masks that are recommended for dancers that don't touch your nose and your mouth. I don't know of any dance company that is actually working yet. There may be some out there, and I'm just not aware of it. But as far as dance studios go, I think you know, where you're teaching kids mostly, that's a different story. But I don't think companies are working together yet. And it's, you know, it's just very, it's a very gray area.
Mm-hmm.
We have a theater that we work in, and, you know, theaters are not allowed to be open yet. But I think that it is allowed to have 10 people or less working inside of a theater, but no audience. So we are hoping that we're going to be able to have some kind of actual presence with masks and taking temperatures and all that kind of thing starting in September. We'll see. I mean, it depends on what happens. If we go back to stage three, that's probably not going to happen, but we're hoping that we can have some kind of a small presence in the theater.
Was there any story similar to the choir practice story that happened to a dance company that you're aware of?
No. I think all the dance companies just shut down. Everybody, I mean, it's such a physical thing to do, and you're right in intimate contact with people. As far as the companies go, I think everybody just had to cut their season short and go virtual. And that's what most people did. And dance companies have been very, very creative. Thank God we're in the creative arts, because we've all been having to be very creative and figure out how to do our art safely and then get it out to the public. And so we are not the only company that's done dance on film. And that is something that a lot of people have put out. And there have been some amazing things created, too. There's been a lot of, here's what our dancers look like dancing in their kitchen kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But there's also been some very beautiful pieces of choreography that have been done on, you know, their iPad with a flashlight and to light it. So we'll
see. I think this has also been a time where a lot of companies are pulling things out of the archive to share with their followers as well. So, you know, bringing up classic works from over the years, and that's something that Wellspring's working on right now too, digitizing our archive. And that's something that we need a little bit of support on too, because we have, you know, a basement full of VHS and Betamax tapes that we have to convert so that we can share this story and keep this legacy of Wellspring Corytarian dancers into, you know, generations ahead. And so that's something that we're working on, but that's our YouTube channel. If you visit there, you'll see some gems popping up from over the years of things that are that we've been able to pull out and resurrect and digitize.
Kate,
and ironic, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, well, I think you should continue your thought, Corey. Yeah,
okay. I was just going to add to what Kate was saying, that it's kind of ironic that this September marks our 40th anniversary of presenting dance in Kalamazoo. And it's ironic because we can't actually celebrate together. But on the other hand, what we decided to take this opportunity to, as Kate was saying, go back into the archives, and our project to celebrate the 40th is to take, I think we've decided on four different dances and make documentary style films about the creation of each one of these pieces.
That's
that
wonderful.
I have created through. Yeah, it's been super fun. And Carolyn Rabbers, one of our dancers who studied screen dance and dance on film, is taking charge of that project. And she's been interviewing some of the original dancers and set designers from the past. We started out with this one piece that I choreographed in 1990. And so it's going to be a really interesting project to just go into the creation of each dance and what it took, and talking to the original cast and how it's transformed over the years. And we'll do four of those this year to celebrate the 40 years.
Where can we watch the films that you were presenting for Wellspring?
Yeah, you can visit our website, wellspringdance.org. We do have media there. So if you click on our About page and scroll down to the bottom, there are examples there. You can see both of the films that we premiered in quarantine, which I might add too, Kara, you mentioned the musicians in our community. And Nicholas Baxter Nick, the drummer, provided music for both of the films that we created in quarantine. So we'd like to give him a little shout out. And we're working with Jordan Hamilton now on the project that Corey just mentioned as we kind of document these past classic works. So our website, you can, of course, go to Facebook. And from our website, you can get to our YouTube channel where we've got all of this great stuff, just, you know, new, like I said, new morsels every day to digest.
Great. I'll visit YouTube and follow you on Facebook, as I already do. Kate, I have a nuts and bolts question for you. You always are on top of renewing grants for your nonprofit dance company here in Kalamazoo. Has the urgency changed for you? Are you applying for more and different grants?
Yes. Good question, Kara. We have the grants that we apply for annually. That this is actually a really busy time in our grant cycle for us. So we have many that we apply for during the summer, and we depend on those. But yes, we've applied for several kind of emergency relief. We're so grateful for the Arts Council of Greater Kalamazoo, who was supported by many of the foundations in town on their bridge fund that they created for arts organizations. The Michigan Council for Arts and Cultural Affairs had an emergency relief grant that we applied for and received. We've just applied for one through the Michigan Economic Development Council recently that's for small business support as we look at reopening. So, yeah, it's been a busy time to be writing grants in my world. So, but we are so grateful for the support that we've gotten from our regular supporters, and then hopefully some of these new ones will come through too and help us bridge this gap, because the majority of our, you know, we have a lot of earned income that comes from running live classes and renting our theater and selling tickets to concerts, and none of those things are operating at full capacity right now. So it's definitely a challenging time.
What would you like those of us who love Wellspring to be doing? What can we do?
Spread the word. You can certainly always make a donation. You can visit our website, and if you've got a little to share and give and support and invest in Wellspring in this stage, we'd certainly appreciate that. Watch the content, share the content, again, on our website, our YouTube channel, our Facebook. You know, tell people that might not know about Wellspring that we're here and we're still active. If you know somebody who might have a little dancer that's maybe hasn't taken a class yet, but you think they have a creative side, send them our way as we're getting ready to launch some information on fall classes and what that might look like. Just help spread the word.
Corey, is it a bit of a silver lining that this pandemic has forced a shutdown and given you the opportunity to look back on your achievements for the last four decades and take a moment to see how it was built and some of the highest points that you've achieved in that time?
Yeah, I think I would agree with you that there is this sense of being able to slow down enough to look back and taking some pleasure in that. I mean, of course, I wouldn't choose this to happen, but that it is happening and that we can make the best of it and do those things. And taking, you know, some really deep looks and not just, let's get that done as fast as we can, which would be my normal mode, I do think it's like the silver lining of all this. I very much look forward to the ending, you know, but because there's one thing that is really hard to take is not being able to welcome audiences. And the idea of when are we going to feel comfortable enough to actually have an audience in our space, that's a hard one. But as you said, the silver lining is we can look back. We can take this year and go into the creative process for each of these pieces and try to stay in the moment.
Well, and the other side of it is the deep loss that you must feel as a creative artist unable to perform in front of an audience. How have you managed that sorrow? I imagine that's changed over months as it continues.
Yeah. Lots of very long dog walks have really helped. That was the thing that got me through, you know, April, May, and June. And then, of course, it got so hot, it became a little bit of a hardship to do really long ones. But I still, you know, getting out in nature and walking the dog and all that stuff really helps with coping with what's happening. And it's hard. It's just a hard thing to get through. I personally have really made an effort not to get too discouraged. I feel lucky that I'm at the stage of my life where I can look back on stuff. If this had happened to me when I was in my 30s or 40s, I think it would have been a very different story.
Oh, yeah, the frustration, but, yeah.
Yeah, it just would have been very different for me, and I think I would have been in more panic mode. But right now, I just feel like I'm so lucky to have this amazing organization with Kate at the helm and all of our amazing board members that have really stepped up to the plate to get us through this emergency time. And the dancers, of course, are fantastic. And I really feel a responsibility to sustain a place for them to do their art as beautiful young dancers. So I'm keeping positive, and we'll do our best to get through this year.
Kate, if you're still with us, how are you managing?
Well, I happen to have a 2-year-old and an 8-year-old at home with me. So,
I thought I heard an interruption there, yeah.
So this has been a very, very interesting time, a lot of time with my family, and a husband who is a partner who's an essential worker and has been back in the office a lot. So it's been a challenge to find the pockets of time to get the work done that I need to do and feel like I am serving the organization as best I can. But as Corey mentioned, we have an outstanding team. We have some amazing board members, and just our instructors and our dancers and our staff have just been so great at stepping up when they need it. So, there have been some dark days, Kara, not going to lie, but I'm feeling very excited and hopeful for what's ahead. And I'm really excited. We have some kind of more concrete things that we're talking about for the fall that helps me have something to project toward and work towards, and that's helping push me right now.
And we decided that resilience was the theme for Wellspring for this year. We congratulated ourselves on being so resilient through this whole thing.
Well, maybe I could borrow some of that myself. It's just it's so eye-opening to see when the world changed immediately to realize this need to interact and the need to feel at one with a group as we watch a performance and watch people. Art is such an end in itself, and it's so hard to put into words what it does for us. It makes living better, period.
Yeah. Well, I do.
Well,
I think
there.
Yeah, I think you said it. It's really about connection, connecting to each other, connecting to our own bodies, connecting to the part of you that wants to make the world a better place, your imagination, all that stuff. I think art is the place where that happens.
Well, let's leave it there for today, because we'll have a chance to catch up again maybe in September, talking about Academy dance classes and other projects as you roll them out, celebrating the 40th anniversary. Any final words from you, Kate?
Just to say that thank you for this opportunity, A, to continue telling the story, because it's a fascinating one. And B, we are preparing. We do mark your calendars for September 12th. That will be our first event. It will be virtual. We're partnering with the Stamped Robin, so you can have cocktails delivered to your home and join us online for a new series that we're launching called Choreography and Cocktails. And we'll be premiering the first documentary film that we're putting together that Corey already mentioned that Carolyn is working on. So you can see behind the process and learn a little bit more and interact with us. So September 12th, mark your calendars. We'll be sharing more information next week on that.
And a final word from you, Corey?
Let's keep it going. We all need to just keep going. And hang in there, and we'll get through this together.
Well, it's been a boost talking to you both, Corey Terry, founder and artistic director of Wellspring Corey Terry and Dancers, and the Wellspring executive director, Kate Yancho. Thank you very much for chatting with me today on Classical WMUK.
Thank you, Kara.
Here's a track called Get Happy from Virtuoso Show Tunes for Piano. We'll hear pianist Jenny Lynn, and thanks again.